Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So make this short trip to Southland Casino. Together we'll play it safe.
Must be 21 plus. Play responsibly. For help quitting, call 800-522-4700.
When you're hunting for small game or big game or thinking of selling your home, think about Sheldon Rosengarten and you, Hugh Mallory.
That's right, Sheldon. We're with Mark Spensdorf Realtors, and while I'm often successful when I go hunting, I heard you're such a lousy golfer, they've banned you from some courses.
Very funny, you. I may be a horrible golfer, but I have a highly successful strategic marketing program with the famous Shellbucks option that takes up most of my practice time. My clients would much rather see me sell their home than hit a hole-in-one.
Sheldon, you're normally about five strokes away from a hole-in-one. That's on a par three.
Yeah. Remember, don't tee off with any agent. Talk to two or three and let you, Mallory, and me be one of them. Remember what people often say. When you want the job done, call Sheldon and Mallory Moves Memphis. That's Sheldon Rosengarten and you, Mallory, at 682-1868 or memphisrelocate.com. Do it now, 682-1868 or memphisrelocate.com.
We're brothers. We're happy and we're singing and we're
It's Jason and John on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Who that? Today's special guest host is Matt Stark.
Who that? Man, this what you been waiting for. I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating, though, because now I'm getting hot enough to even want to stay in home. And she can't tell the difference. I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television. And did I fail the mission? Your girl is hot, a missionary, boy, you failed the mission. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrate.
Yeah, it's a three-hour show. We're going to let the song play out a little bit, right? Good to be back, Memphis. Matt Stark in today and tomorrow for Jason and John, both getting some well-deserved time off for some R&R. I am the Matt Stark on Twitter if you want to hit me up. We've got real live sports to talk about this time. Brad Carson. Brad is across the glass again.
What's happening?
Good to see you, man.
Happy Thursday, Matt Stark.
Happy Thursday. Listen to you and guest host Anthony Sane yesterday. He did a great job.
Did a good job. Yeah. He'd never done a radio show with us, so it was impressive.
I'll tell you, it's the whole behind-the-scenes kind of things that people don't think about or realize or know about. It's always interesting to see the dynamic with people when they haven't worked together before.
Yep.
Because particularly radio, like TV, it's one thing, you can always go back and retape it unless you're live. getting introduced to each other over a three-hour period.
Yep.
But you guys were flawless, man. You played it off both really well, bounced off each other well. I thought it was a good, entertaining show. Well done. Shouts to Sane. Well done.
Hey, you guys make this easy for us when you come in and you do these three-hour shows. This is why we're laying the vacays on thick right now, because mm-hmm. – the plan is to get everybody vacationed well before the NBA returns to action July 3rd.
No,
we're flipping
smart.
Our spring and our summer.
Absolutely.
So it's an interesting time.
So, and then what do you do for vacation? You and I were just talking about that. I was listening to Jeff Calkins' show earlier, and Jeff will be on with us later today, 125, mm-hmm. I believe.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? Like, is it safe enough still to go out? Like, so our family always goes to Maine in the summer.
Yeah.
Well, that's out. I can't go be around my parents right now. Can't bring in my sisters from around the country. We can't fly, do all that. So you're trying to figure out something else to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, but like, what's a good idea? Like, what's safe? What's, I'm not hopping on a plane right now.
Yeah.
I know some people are and do and have.
Jay Busby from Yahoo Sports wrote an interesting article a couple weeks ago about traveling and how it's, you know, like a ghost town. But then you see those pictures of planes where they're jammed full and middle aisle is taken, or middle seat rather, and all that. So I don't know. Everyone's, I guess, just trying to, you know, figure this out as we go.
Much like Greg Popovich possibly not coaching due to his age.
Yeah.
I think that it depends on your age. And I'm not picking on older folks.
Mm-hmm.
I am saying this as a matter of public health because the experts have said, given if you are 70 plus or 60 plus, the odds go higher for you to die.
Right. Not,
and getting sick and maybe being worse and potentially dying. My grandmother, 93 years old, is stuck in a nursing home, and my dad hasn't seen her for 6 months.
Mm.
So, I mean, not six. Yeah, it's been 6 months almost, because I think prior to March 15th, they were already starting to, Pritzker, the governor of Illinois, where my family's at up there, he was starting to lock down in February. So not 6 months, but, you know, you're 4 or 5 months.
That's probably about right. I mean, I remember, so at school, we started talking about it back in December, because before we went away for Christmas break, I remember talking to our principal, Sandra Morris, and she was saying, you know, hey, there's been some discussion, and, you know, at some point, this might be a reality. We're going to be shutting down. I'm like, you're kidding,
our
right?
protocol
like,
team.
And that was December.
Our protocol team, Dan, had a group that I believe in February, prior to me going on vacation and seeing the final NBA game of the season in Dallas with the Mavericks game that I was at, was the final game of the NBA season, one of them. We had meetings in February with a group of folks here at the radio station saying we need more of this, we need sanitizer, this is coming, protocol, and now here we are, middle of June, and all you can see it when you walk in, we've got a massive...
This is the biggest bottle of hand sanitizer I've ever seen, and here's the thing, like I thought it was regular sanitizer, it's like the ones that you can buy at Kroger right now, it's extremely liquid.
Yeah, it's very liquid,
so
you can use it as wipe down.
Yeah, I just soaked the entire
counter
in here.
It's actually a non-alcohol-based chemical from LW Chemicals Incorporated.
Oh. Shout out to LW Chemicals.
Yeah, I have a personal connection at LW Chemicals, but that is under patent pending, and great product, but most of the alcohol-based stuff, it kind of wears out your hands, and we've got some of that too. We've got, you can see it when you come in, Dan Barron.
Safety
puts
first.
We've got all sorts of protocol in place here. We've got our masks.
Yep.
We have distance. We, you know, John has done a great job not only hosting the show, but board opping it too. I mean, he's running control board.
Yep.
You know, along with hosting, and so is Jeffrey. Jeffrey does it for two shows now. Not only the show that he produces, the Jeff Calkins show, but he's also, you know, board opping his 2 to 4 show. And, you know, Connor's at home. I've been at home working. It's a unique time, man. What about education? You know, you are with St. Benedict, Auburndale.
That's correct.
Terrific, terrific school, terrific high school.
Check us out. Accepting applications now at SBAEagles.org for the class of 2020, which we're doing a lot of planning, man. Getting ready for hopefully what education will look like in the fall.
Yep.
Not only that, we're getting ready for a graduation. So we had like a drive-through graduation for our seniors.
I saw that on Channel 5.
A few weeks ago, and that was great, fantastic. Now we're actually going to plan the on the soccer field. Here are the graduates. They're dressed up.
Oh, cool.
They get to bring X amount of people with them, which is interesting, and it kind of ties into what the University of Memphis is doing, which I want to get to in a little bit too. Because there's a lot of legwork that goes into it. You've got to make sure that you're doing the distancing and 6 feet for everybody, who can come, who can't come. And I get why University of Memphis released that yesterday, although, like,
I think it's a pimp for tickets.
I'm telling you. The conspiracy theory of me is like, dude. But it's brilliant.
It is
because
smart.
You can say it's not
put a
sales
date,
gimmick.
Yeah, no, just put a date on it. Get Jeff to write the article and rock and roll.
Boom.
No, it's very smart.
Let the phones ring off the hook at GoTigersGo.com.
Here's the date, folks. Get your tickets before the end of June because
it's like the perfect marketing ploy because you can say it's not a gimmick because
it's not,
in reality,
you can
not.
Do it.
Like, they need to plan how many people are going to be there. It's like you're throwing a party.
Yeah.
How many hot dogs do I need to buy? How much water? Mm-hmm. How much this? How much that? So they need to plan. But to your point also, like, maybe we can jazz up these tickets a little bit by saying we're only going to let, you know, 29,000 people in.
The first thing I thought of when I heard that was, and Jeff's column captures this very nicely, having a massive stadium right now is awesome.
Yes.
You can have 30,000 people in a 60,000 seater and then figure it out that way. You know, it'll probably look like anywhere from 5,000 to 20,000 maybe. And then you've got, you know, the packs of, there's the Stark family over there. And then 6 feet over from them slid down is the Carson family.
They're probably going to lose those tarps pretty quick, aren't they?
Yeah, get the tarps up.
By the way.
Maybe you could sit on the tarps and slide down. That'll be like a kid's area.
No.
It's the kid's zone.
It's not safe enough.
It's not safe. I'm sorry. Yeah, apart. There's bacteria. Get on it.
Yeah, no doubt. Shout out, by the way, and I'm going to ask Jeff about this.
Sure.
Dr. Shirley Raines, a true visionary at the University of
Memphis.
She was opposed to the on-campus stadium.
She was.
That boutique little comfy 30, 35, 40,000. Of course she was. She was planning ahead.
She knew the pandemic was coming long ago.
She knew.
Matt.
And now the Liberty Bowl, that beautiful Liberty Bowl, as Jeff put it in his article the Daily Memphian, is likely to be, you know, one of the premier football experiences this fall.
COVID stadium at Liberty Bowl.
If we have it. Listening to Dr. John McCullers on with him earlier today, there's still, I don't know, and maybe later we'll get into that and we'll get some feedback from you listeners. Are you going to go to a game? Would you, if you have season tickets, A, are you renewing? Mm-hmm. Are you going to go? Do you worry? Are you not going?
Right.
Interesting
so Jeff's
going
to come with us at 125 today.
Jeff will discuss that with us at 125. The PGA Tour is back. Brad Carson. Oh, it's underway right now. I don't know how to operate the TVs in here.
You just hit the little blue button. I'll figure it out.
Looks like it's red. That's okay.
We've got it on here. Dustin Johnson now.
What's the leaderboard
looking
like?
He's on the course practicing right now. It's early. DJ is, he is on the course live. Here we are on the Golf Channel.
Yeah, they got to be going.
What's
the leaderboard?
So this is the Charles Schwab tournament?
The Charles Schwab Challenge from Fort Worth. So you know what that means.
Uh-huh. What does that mean?
Well, hello, friends. Jim Nance is back.
Jim Nance is back.
Not today, I don't think. Although, I guess he is. But the national CBS audience will catch him on Saturday and Sunday. And that's pretty much me maxing out my golf talk.
I've been following golf. Did you watch the thing with Tiger Woods?
Of course I watched that.
What'd you think of that?
Because that had Tom Brady in it. And Peyton Manning and Tiger and Phil. That was entertaining as hell. And that is how, and I know CBS has talked about trying to figure out ways to draw in some non-traditional viewers.
Sure.
And really all the other sports are going to do that as well,
mm-hmm.
since you're not going to have the fans there. NFL, I'm sure, is going to experiment, try to steal some stuff from the XFL.
Mm-hmm.
Major League Baseball, if they ever get their act together, maybe they'll start
micing
up. I don't either.
Point.
And we'll get into that, too. Maybe they start to come up with some solutions. But CBS has talked about miking up some players, kind of trying to draw a little bit of what works
what they
so
did in
well
that big tournament.
With the challenge. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And part of it, so you're old enough to remember.
Yes.
Kids out there will need to Google. You remember when Monday Night Football brought Dennis Miller into the booth?
Oh,
They finally went away from the whole announcer and the color guy.
Yep.
And they went with Dennis Miller, which was a wild experiment at the time.
Sure.
He was really funny comedian, had his own show and everything like
Saturday
that.
Saturday Night Live.
Saturday Night Live, and then he had his own show on, ABC, HBO, whatever.
Yeah.
Brought him in the booth and thinking like, okay, we'll get some, brevity, mm-hmm. maybe a different view on things, and it just didn't work.
Here is the update from Colonial Country Club, the leaderboard.
Do we have any golf music?
Currently, I should have gotten my golf surround sound here. Justin Rose in the lead. Right now, he's 7-under.
Through 12 holes. What are they doing at this course? Is this a pitching putt? How are you 7-under after 12 holes?
This might be putt-putt golfing games that they're playing at. Vegas, I think it is. He is at second. He's currently in second position at 6-under par.
Gotta love the early leaderboard names that you've never heard before.
Brian Harman is 5-under.
He's done.
Currently running third. He has finished the course. Bryson DeChambeau is tied for fourth with Ian Poulter, also 4-under par in the leaderboard there.
I don't think I'm scrolling down. Phil Mickelson -3 through 12, and then that's
basically they're
seeing
at golf and games. They're playing putt putt, and the leaderboard consists at the top. They are 7-under par, top of the leaderboard there.
Are you enough of a golf fan that you would watch this weekend, even if let's say we had normal sports happening?
I am literally the opposite of John Martin's usually on this show. John does not watch baseball. He's admitted that.
I know.
Not interested in NASCAR. Does not watch that.
Okay.
I am the opposite. I consume all of it. I was betting. We went to Illinois. We were quarantined. My mom and dad live on a farm. They don't see anybody. So we went there because my only child son was finally at wit's end. So we went there and hung out with them. We were in the basement watching Belmont, and they were flipping on FS1 between Belmont, and they had horse racing in Louisville. And I still have the Twin Spire app on my phone where you can gamble.
Wow, okay. So you're into it.
I was watching horse racing
at Jeffrey
Belmont.
We're talking Jeffrey Wright territory
I don't think the margins are the same. I mean, when you're betting $1 on a box at Belmont, it's a little different, I think, than Jeffrey's category,
gotcha,
if you follow.
Gotcha.
Because Jeffrey's actually good at gambling. I'm not a professional. So I was doing that. But, no, I consume all of it. Like, okay. I'm watching the draft last night, and I think as a program director – who's been in multiple markets around the country that aren't basketball based,
yep,
that probably follows suit with my
got to be a
background.
Mile wide, right? A little bit of everything.
Yeah, and especially when there's no sports, like,
yeah,
you consume any sports at that point.
Right.
And so, like, that's why we've been probably talking more about baseball coming back, about the draft, MLB draft. But no, I consume all of it. I do watch it.
I don't know how they'll do drawing in non-traditional fans. Like, I watch the majors. I'll for sure watch. And
will you watch Colonial?
I don't know. I'll for sure watch the World Golf Championships from your FedEx,
yeah,
St. Jude Invitational. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, shouts to this FedEx St. Jude Invitational.
Coming up last week of July, first weekend
in
August.
We're under 50 days till that tournament.
Daryl Smith was on with Giannotto and Jeffrey yesterday.
I listened to that interview.
Yep.
It was great.
I did as well.
And the cool thing about that tournament being a top-level tournament now is the TV coverage will be top-notch. You know, like, you'll get on the Golf Channel, presumably that weekend you're on CBS. Should be a fun weekend. And it's a long course. You know, the guys are driving the ball. I mean, hopefully the weather's good. I'm excited about it.
Late July, it's going to be hot.
It's going to be hot as hell. That's the one thing about Little League coming back in Germantown, because they are GBL is back.
Okay.
So the kids
are
doing socially distanced baseball where the coaches aren't even in the dugout.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, grandma can't come, but coaches, no, not in the dugout.
So GBL just third base, first base?
Yeah, spread them out, and kids are playing, and then there's all this protocol. They took the bleachers out in Germantown, which is it's good because these kids, they need the outlet, and they are, if
no
you
doubt.
Look at the stats, it's the opposite end of the spectrum to the nursing homes, right?
Right.
Like my grandmother. So, yeah, they're starting practice. They're doing practice this weekend, I think, and they're going to try to start games. They're not doing practices after they start games, because so it'll be just like games,
gotcha,
much like they're doing with travel ball and – so, yeah, it'd be interesting. I'll be into the Little League more than ever now with no baseball pro.
Well, you got, so golf is back.
Yep.
We had NASCAR last night. First time they ever raced under the lights in Martinsville. That track's been around for 100 mm-hmm. plus years, or almost 100. Martin Truex Jr. getting the checkered flag. But the big story, obviously, yesterday with NASCAR was that NASCAR announced they have banned the flying of the Confederate flag at their racetracks.
And it's the big story.
There are some really interesting reads on that.
Yep.
Ryan McGee from ESPN tackles the whole "that flag is our heritage" angle,
yeah,
on ESPN.com. And he is a direct descendant of slave owners.
Mm-hmm.
And in his piece, he says that the flag means pain, embarrassment, and anguish.
I liked the piece.
It's a very nuanced piece. I would advise you to read,
yep,
that. Check it out. Dan Wetzel from Yahoo, who I believe you said is coming on Jeffrey and Giannotto.
He's going to be on Gary.
He's
Parrish is going to have, okay, him on a 425 this afternoon.
There you go. 425 Dan Wetzel. He tackled the, okay, it sounds great, NASCAR, in theory,
mm-hmm,
but, you know, finally. But how is this plan going to actually succeed? What,
right,
are the teeth behind it?
Mm-hmm.
His point, the star drivers need to get behind this flag ban if it's going to have any
no
chance
doubt
of working. And
yeah,
I know he and GP will get into that today. That'll be a good listen. Wetzel's a terrific writer.
It was one of the things I talked with Anthony Sain about yesterday, because I pointed out, in theory, if you're on NASCAR property or a racetrack at Martinsville or at Bristol or
Talladega,
Las Vegas, wherever, you can on property get the car attendant to go, okay, that's got to go or you can't come in.
Yeah.
Same going into the stadium, which is actually the track, presumably socially distanced tracks, when we see those fans start to come in, because they've already talked about doing something similar. We were talking about the Liberty Bowl. But circling back, there are many of these tracks where the property across the street isn't owned by the track owner, or it's a different parking lot, or it's Janet Smith's renting out, and
right,
you got these dudes in RVs, I don't want to stereotype, rednecks, flying old, you know, these Confederate flags. you know, you got to be able to say you need a movement to stop those people from trying to clown this whole movement.
So I think,
which is not right.
So you've got to have teeth to it if you're NASCAR.
That's
right. And you have to weather whatever storm will come back your way.
Right.
If you're going to say don't fly the flag, then the first thing you do is you go up and you got to take the tickets.
That's it.
You're like, hey, we told you. Maybe you remind everyone as they drive in. So the first race that's going to have fans is going to be in Talladega on the 20th. So that's, you know, 9 days away. Right. Talladega. Deep in Alabama.
What do you do with fans who have tattoos that have a Confederate flag on?
So that's the other part of this. So I've covered NASCAR, okay? I worked in Richmond for 2.5 years, went to a number of races there, covered a race in Martinsville.
Yep.
And I'm not trying to lump everybody all in as part of the crowd.
Follow.
You will see a lot of Confederate flags,
yep,
whether that's on T-shirts, tattoos, hats, koozies.
It's everywhere.
Skirts, shorts, like you name it, they've got it on there.
Yep.
I don't know how you're going to be able to police that. And this doesn't attempt to, apparently. Like, this may be the first step.
No, you just come out. I think
flags are one thing. You could take them down, like I said, and you take the passes and you say, hey, I'm sorry, you got to go. But when you mix in the fact that at these environments, and if you've never been, trust me, like, people aren't just showing up. It's not a one-off, right? Like, they're not showing up for kickoff a couple hours before. Like, generally, it's a weekend, right? And you're out there, and you're out, and the parties don't stop when the park closes at
been
10 o'clock.
Yeah.
These infields are a wild, interesting world.
Yep.
And when alcohol's involved, and you can bet your bottom dollar will be, it's going to be interesting to see how NASCAR pulls this off. So
good for
them.
We got a whole show to talk about it, and I'm sure we'll get into it more. I know Gary will talk to Dan about it at 4:25. I will say this. I like the idea of not starting with the nuance, because once you get into the how are we going to execute, I think by coming out at the beginning and going, we're going to ban this, I'm more hopeful, because now you said you've made your bit, you know, you made your statement, but much like Black Lives Matter, the next step beyond the brand movement and the rule is, okay, now what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, and so I actually like the calling it a ban, because what that insinuates is, yo, man, you don't get in the track if you got that flag. But I did think, man, there are so many Confederate dudes with tattoos.
And you know this political environment that we're in, where you say black, I say white. You say tomato, I say tomato. There is very seldom very seldom a common ground that people can find with respect for one another. You know it's going to cause blowback the other way, to where then maybe there's more T-shirts than you've ever seen before.
Yeah, I think my prayer is that I think the one thing that the movement we have now, the difference is it's. There's more. I think there might be more commonality now, because I'm seeing Drew Brees is a good example of this. I think there's some commonality now where this is different. That's what I'm seeing. And I hope that's true.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see going forward. NASCAR finally getting on board. Got a lot to get to in the show, including my old friend Mike Sadie, sports director from News Channel 3. He's going to join us after the break, actually, to discuss the Tigers preparing to limit their season ticket holders at the Liberty Bowl. At noon, we'll get in the rundown and why some NBA players may not totally be down with the idea of the whole July 31st return and living in a bubble in Orlando for 6 or 7 or 8 weeks. 12:30, we'll get into the Major League Baseball draft. Day 2 gets underway at 4 o'clock today. We'll talk to a guy who knows what it's like to get that phone
call. Cool.
Former Memphis Tiger pitcher and quarterback, Will Hudgens. 1 o'clock, do a little over-under. More Major League Baseball. Rob Manfred, the commissioner, said yesterday there would 100% be baseball this season. Brad, last time I was here, like 3 weeks ago, we were talking about a July 1 return. There is no way that's happening. So you can bet that I'm going to have some issue with Manfred's 100% slam dunk we're having baseball. We'll put a number to it with over under. 125, Jeff Calkins, as we mentioned, we'll jump on, talk Tigers, Grizzlies, NBA, all that kind of stuff. And we'll do all that. We'll get the show rock and roll. Appreciate you listening in it. Mike Sadie from News Channel 3 on the other side. Matt Starkin for Jason and John, 99 FM ESPN.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card.
Hey, Couch Surfers, we've got nonstop tunes to keep you rocking while you work. Oh, and Colleen, yes, you Colleen with a K. Your free trial of Movie Plus ends tomorrow and your card may be charged. Do you want to continue or cancel?
So meet Eno.
the Capital One assistant. Eno looks out for surprise charges, like when free trials expire, and helps if you need to fix them. Eno, another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Limitations apply.
It all starts with just one thing. Make your pet more green. Buy organic pet food, seek out kitty litter made with natural materials, and clean up after your pet using certified green products. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Hey, it's Jason Smith. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it. With their free same-day pickup, you can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations in-store or curbside. If you have a job that can wait until tomorrow, AutoZone offers free next-day delivery on orders over $35 just ordered by 10 p.m. At AutoZone, free next-day delivery is available on over 100,000 parts, including ones for jobs like replacing your brake pads and rotors or installing new wipers. Visit AutoZone.com today and start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Why so serious? So we're so fast if you are wrong. And all the right ways are
spilled your drink? Quick! The quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills and messes quicker. And each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading value brand. So you can get back to the party. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
Hurt on the job? Dial #529 on your cell. Pound law, that's all.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host is Matt Stark.
Don't be cruel to who heart is true. Baby, if I made you mad for something I might have said, please don't forget my past.
And rolling on, Matt Stark behind the mic today for Jason and John. Joined now by Mike Sadie, sports director at WREG News Channel 3 on your side. MSadie underscore WREG 3 on Twitter. Michael, how are you?
I am doing well, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Let's begin with this. So Michael Jordan, who we can all agree is, I guess you would say, the Tom Brady of the NBA, he caught a 442-pound Marlin, or at least was on a team that caught one the other day. You, Michael, are from Miami. Surely there is a giant Marlin story in your history.
Although, I might be one of the few guys that grew up in South Florida and doesn't like going deep sea fishing, but no, there is no big Marlin. I think the only deep sea fishing story I had, I think when I was somewhere in middle school, they awarded the safety patrols by taking us out on a boat. And by the time I was about 1 mile out, you know, in the Atlantic and whatever, I just, as you can imagine, I got a little sick. So I was laying horizontal for most of that trip at, what, 12 years old, 11 or 12 years old. I love my beaches, but after about, 15 or 20 feet out in the water, yeah, that's not for me. My son loves fishing. Me, not so much, but I'm impressed. But I think you said it right. Michael, MJ was part of the team.
Yes.
It was his boat.
Yes.
I think the most astonishing thing is that Marlin, 455-pound Marlin, was only sixth best that day.
No doubt. These are some monsters they're pulling. I don't know how far offshore
crazy
they were. And by the way, like, don't take this the wrong way. You struck me as a landlubber. Like, I couldn't see you out on, you know, the ocean blue 20, 25 miles offshore. No disrespect. Like, I'm not that guy either. So I can recognize another guy that is happier, you know, tied to land.
Exactly. No, dead on. I love riding in a boat, you know, as long as the boat is moving.
As long as you can see shore.
Stop those things.
Yes. Yeah.
You lose a little control.
Yeah, my son and I love to watch Deadliest Catch, right? I'm not trying to go out on the Bering Sea. Like, if I can still see the shore, I'm okay. Once I lose sight of the shore, I want to head back into the shore. All right, so last time that we spoke, 3 weeks ago or so when I was hosting this very show, you still really had no sports to talk about. Well, now we're inching closer. The NBA has announced its return. The PGA is underway as we speak. But let's start with the Grizz because it's obviously the big it's a hometown team. And where they're going to play is your home state, which we've already covered as Florida. You will have an NBA team to cover and hopefully a playoff run as well. But
you're not going to be able to go. And obviously, like, we've all been there. Back in my TV days, we didn't travel as much as you guys at Channel 3. You guys went everywhere. but how weird and challenging is it going to be to cover the Grizzlies and relevant information and what you want to provide to your viewers from 800 miles away? I mean, like, people don't know. That's not easy, man.
No, it's not. And, you know, we're used to wherever the Grizzlies were in their playoff run, their heyday of grit and grind, or whether it was the Tigers under Cal and going to Final Fours and all that. You know, we were there, and we were able to be in locker rooms and at press conferences and not hearing things secondhand. There's so many questions regarding this. And I think, you know, when you look at the grand scheme of things, and you and I talked about this last time out, I think what's most important is getting the games back, giving people their teams back to root for, giving them a season and a sport that has carried us through parts of the year for so long, getting that back. How we'll then take those games and those highlights, we will do what we have to do to get people the highlights that they need, the interviews that they need, but we still don't know how we're going to be tied by the NBA because, you know, obviously, you know, very few media are going to be allowed in the bubble. And Now I'm hearing that media, like everybody else, like players, like coaches, like essential staff members, like maybe some family members, once you get in the bubble, you're staying at Disney World for 3.5 months. Mm-hmm. Imagine being there and you can't go to the parks.
Yeah.
You can't do anything else. So I think the NBA, with all of its questions that it still has left to answer, mainly being safety protocols and the testing that's going to be available, you know, the media, they're not too worried about us, but they will make it available for us to be able to tell the story of what we hope is a young Grizzly team that A, will be healthy, and B, will be motivated to see what they can do, get into the playoffs and take on the Lakers and see if they can make LeBron and Anthony Davis and those guys sweat a little bit in Orlando. But I'm just glad that we're getting an opportunity that if all goes well, July 31st, not only will Memphis fans have the Grizzlies to get excited about and resuming their season, but let's not forget that's also going to be round two of our World Golf Championship event out at Southwind on the same exact day.
That's right.
So after 3 months of not having anything, what's about to happen for me, I may not have enough time in my show.
No, you definitely won't. You definitely won't. So Adrian Wojnarowski reporting yesterday that there are a number of NBA players that are a little skeptical about the return, particularly for teams that I don't want to say have no shot at advancing, but, you know, maybe a 8 seed, and I'm not saying it's the Grizzlies. But there are teams that are going to be invited that really logistically have no chance in hell of.
I think you're speaking of the Magic. We understand you're speaking of the Magic.
Okay, that's so who I'm talking about. That's definitely one of the teams that I'm talking about. And I get it. Like, I know that they're highly compensated, and the only way that they get paid is if they show up. But you can understand with health issues, and you're not quite sure about, you know, how you're going to respond to it, what it looks like if someone gets sick. And then, as you mentioned, when you're down there, so you're committed as an NBA player, then they arrive, what, I think July 7th. The games start on the 31st. You can't leave until your team's eliminated from the playoffs. So that's at least, what, September-ish or middle of September. And then on top of that, the NBA, as you kind of touched on, is going to mandate that you still need to then quarantine for 10 days before you can leave the bubble. So, yeah, you're looking at 3 months down there. Again, I know these are highly compensated athletes for the most part, but what if you're on the training staff? What if you're media? What if the NBA calls you up today, Mike Sadie, and they're like, hey, Mike Sadie, really enjoy your work at WREG News Channel 3. Love watching you on the Zoom. I've been tuning in nightly. We're going to offer you an opportunity to come down here and cover the Grizzlies. However, that means you're going to be here, you're going to be in the bubble, and you're not leaving until, let's say, October. I know you're not nearly as highly compensated as the NBA guys. I don't know. I'm not trying to get into your wallet. I'm just saying. How are you going to react to that?
Yeah, it's a lot of questions that, you know, I think you have to take the money out of it. I mean, yeah, these players are multimillionaires, but at the end of it, safety and family and kids and all of that. And imagine, you know, you have a wife and two beautiful kids at home, but now imagine just being asked, hey, you're going to be gone for 3 months and you're not going to see them because if they can't bring them in. That's just familial. You're just talking about the family aspect of all of that. I think lost in a little bit of this, though, is that as a fan and you're yearning for information, and it wasn't but 3 weeks ago that everyone was reporting that unanimously all the players wanted to play. You know, they all got back and they said, we really want to resume the season. And now as we get closer, now you're hearing that there's a group of players that are a little leery. And I totally get so many unknowns that there's, you know, especially if you're not maybe one of the big five or six teams in the NBA that really have a little legitimate chance of winning a championship. For you, for those teams, you can say to yourself, at least there's that carrot at the end of all of this. We're going to be NBA champions regardless of if there's an asterisk.
Yep.
I get the idea of, man, I don't want to be in there for 2 months without my family and all of this and out of my routine and not being able to do what I want to do. But that's where we are. Every sports league is having to ask itself a couple of questions. One of them is, if we're going to come back, it's going to be different. It's going to be harder. But it's what we have to do. If everyone wants to get paid and all of that, and we want to finish seasons, or we want to start seasons, or we want to resume seasons, it's not going to be like it was. So if it's not going to be like it was, you have to ask yourself, you know, is it worth it for me? And if it's not, you're not going to get paid. You know, but I want to see how they do it with whether it's a positive COVID-19 test or if it's a player that doesn't want to play because of safety issues. How do you go get players? Is it just guys on your G League team? Or, you know, for if you're a Grizzlies fan, can you go and get Vince Carter, who's a guy who played for the Grizzlies and he's not playing with Atlanta and he's done now? That's not the way he wants to go out. But, hey, if the Grizzlies need a player, could you see Vinsanity just kind of hanging out with the Grizz in Orlando in case somebody gets hurt or somebody tests positive? And then Vince, are you going to be able to bring those kind of players back to play for other teams? I don't know how all that is going to work out, but it's just amazing. There's still so many questions, and we're talking about resuming. You know, the guys will be back at FedEx Forum on the 22nd to start training here before they make the move to Orlando. So many questions that still don't have answers except, hey, we plan to come back.
We have breaking news in the 92.9 studio.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Brought to you by Dell Technologies Small Business Podference. Go listen at radio.com/Dell for the Podference podcast. According to Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN, the NBA... targeting a slightly earlier date for the restart of the season in Orlando. Sources tell ESPN, don't get your hopes up, though. It's just July 30th, not July 31st.
Oh, come on.
I'm sorry about
that. What a tease.
I wish I would have said July 1st.
Sandy was about to hang up the phone. He's like, oh, my God, they're reporting today.
I know. Look, we got breaking Woj bombs. It's a day earlier. But one day earlier, not the 31st, but July 30th. That he did tweet it out, so it is news.
That's even worse.
This is where we're at, basically, on the breaking news.
They steal the opening day from the World Golf Championships FedEx St. Jude invitation.
Thanks, Woj. Now, instead of day two, it's the day we're taking off. I appreciate that.
Maybe the Grizzlies won't play on day one. Michael, what do you think about that whole return format, which we now know may be July 30th, the eight-game regular season, the potential play-in for the current 8-seed Reed Grizzlies, if the 9-seed, either Portland or the Pelicans, are within 4. You like it? You think it's fair enough? Is it weighted just right? Where are you on that?
Well, I think that in the grand scheme of things, it works out for the Grizzlies because it does give them some sort of advantage for what they did over the 75% of the season that was played. But with that being said, the arbitrary number of 4 after 8 games when you're up 3.5, I think this was just the NBA's way of saying, hey, can we get Zion to Orlando? Can we get Damian Lillard to Orlando? Can we get, you know, some of these other teams that, I mean, because, you know, I wasn't in the room. I wasn't on the Zoom call that said anyone within six with 8 games to go and all. I don't know how they did all. I know it does add more teams and you'll get a dogfight, but, you know, why just the 8th? If you're within 6 games of the 7, shouldn't this? I don't know all of that, but I do know when I looked at it and I broke it down, I'm thinking, okay, Grizz, 8 games, 3.5 up. All you got to do is get a 1-game advantage over the rest of it. Play well. If the schedule breaks like we think it's going to break, you'll be playing some of those teams that are chasing you. LaMarcus Aldridge isn't with the Spurs anymore if you have to play that game as well. So I think that it wasn't just, hey, we're going to go back and you're still going to have to re-earn it. At least now it's, look, use those 8 games. If you can pad your cushion just a little bit, you'll automatically go in. And I do like the fact that if it is a play-in game, if it is 8-9, if it is Grizzlies-Pelicans for that spot, it's, you know, people look at it and say, oh, it's a best out of three. No, it's a best out of two because the 9 has to win both and the Grizz only have to win one.
Yep.
So it's only two games. So at least there's an advantage at that scenario too. I think one of the things that's going to be really cool to see or see how it plays out this time around is the lack of a home court advantage.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been in there, Matt. Brad, you've been in there too as a fan. If you're in the grindhouse during a playoffs when we were really playing well, I mean, there was no other place. It was loud. But now you take it to those teams like Staples Center and the Clippers and the Lakers, and you know those home court advantages are huge. That you're not going to have that.
Yeah.
And there's going to be no fans in the stands, so it's literally going to be what happens on the court. And maybe that's a good thing for a young Grizzly team that's many of them going through it for the first time. They don't have to worry about people screaming at them and booing, and just play hoop. A lot of these guys are not far removed from playing 15 games a day in AAU ball. So, and they're young, so a lot of these things are being pro-Grizz. Are they going to beat the Lakers in a seven-game series? Probably not, but it's still going to be fun to watch as long as they take care of business on July 30th now.
Here's what I'm really intrigued by, too. What are they going to do? So, obviously, there won't be fans. There's been talk about them piping in sound from NBA 2K, the video game. I'm more intrigued with the idea of, listen, we're just going full Nat sound. You're going to hear the players like you've never heard before.
You can't.
Let me finish. We'll put it on a couple different networks. They did that with The Last Dance and Michael Jordan. He was dropping F-bombs all over the place on ESPN. So you have ESPN for if you really want to hear what's going on the court. Then you have ESPN2 for if you got little kids or you're offended by certain words. Then you've got the NBA 2K and there's, go team, go. Like, sign me up for the unfiltered version. You know, charge me an extra buck or two. I'm there for that.
Yeah.
And you know what? That is a good call because I did like the way when you're actually, you know, watching something in its purest form.
Yeah.
But you know, I think that the NBA has so much more to worry about than saying, hey, here's five different options for you to watch the game. And the guy who's supposed to blurb out words, he'd be pressing that delay button every single time if there's no fans.
Right.
Coaches and referees and players and everybody yelling at each other.
Yeah.
It's going to
be intriguing. I bet you, like you've seen, we all know how they do it with the college football championship, the BCS. They have, the field, then they have, the all-22, then they have the coaches' booth. I'm just saying, as we move along, they could do it.
Yeah, they could do it if they want to.
I don't know. Speaking of fans, Mike Sadie from News Channel 3, at @MSadie_WREG3 on Twitter. University of Memphis announcing yesterday they are examining capacity limits for the Liberty Bowl for the upcoming football season. Bottom line, they still want to maintain the 6 feet of distance between the groups, which brings us to the point. Memphis says they anticipate only being able to offer tickets to season ticket holders. Mike, I'm not saying this is a sales gimmick, but this is a great marketing gimmick, is it not? Get your tickets or else you're not going to watch Tiger football.
It is. It is. When in the grand scheme of things, the overriding message that you're hearing around football is we're hopeful for fans,
right?
But it's still doubtful. And as we continue to get ahead of this pandemic, you know, all schools need to make money. They have lost so much money. That's not singular to the University of Memphis. It's everywhere. Every school has lost so much. And, you know, when they look at, you know, fiscal 2021 moving forward, you know, it's even going to be worse. It's hard for me. If you go to the youth baseball that my son used to play a lot of, and we've done stories the last few weeks as those are opened up, you can have all the greatest plans in the world. But if you're a college football team and you really think that you're going to be able to put fans 6 feet apart and then all of a sudden the game starts, you don't think they're going to start mingling from six feet to 2 feet to 1 feet to high-fiving each other?
Yep.
I mean, those are all questions that are way above my pay grade, but you know, I think the university, if you're a fan, you should be excited that the university is thinking that fans will be inside the Liberty Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side of this, the one group that needs to be taken care of outside of season ticket holders is the students. If you're at the university and you're a student and you've paid it as part of your tuition at the U of M and you're part of a program that's gone 35-5 the last 6 years at home, and I know what people are going to say. Less than 20,000-25,000 people show up at every game. They wait to see what the schedule and what the weather, but a lot of fans, a lot of students are looking forward to the fall with everything that they've gone through and missing the spring and having to do everything at home. Dr. David Rudd, I know on Twitter yesterday, said that the students will be taken care of, whatever the plan is. I understand the big money season ticket holders. University is going to do right however they can with the protocols in place but Jeff Calkins, I think, said it best in that the Liberty Bowl is the perfect venue for social distancing because for years they said it was too big for the Tigers to play in anyway. You can spread out a bunch of people now inside the Liberty Bowl, and I think that it would do well. I think you can get it done, but let me tell you this. If the Tigers start and Brady White and DeMonte Coxey and those guys start the season 8-0 or something like that, there's going to be a lot more people wanting to get in the Liberty Bowl than maybe can be allowed. But I guess that's a good problem to have if you're with the Tigers.
No doubt. As I mentioned earlier to Brad, don't we all owe a big thank you to Dr. Shirley Raines, who was really opposed to the idea of or even entertaining the idea of the on-campus stadium? Because now, instead of, you know, worrying how do we figure out how to get 10,000 or 15,000 fans in, we're at least up to 29, 30, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. All those schools that have those nice, like UCF that everybody talks about, we could have that stadium.
By the way,
I've been in that stadium.
Yeah.
When that stadium gets packed and they start jumping around, you think the stadium is collapsing at UCF. That's a story for another day. But if you're UCF and you're trying to pack 20,000 or 25 in their stadium, good luck with social distancing. You might be able to get 10. At least at Memphis, you know, where it seats 58 or whatever, 48, if they take away the tarps, you know, you could get a good 25 in there and maximize your social distancing. It's a perfect – maybe other colleges should ask if Memphis has dates available for them to play their games at the Liberty Bowl so they can get more people in the stadium.
Wrapping up with our guy Mike Sadie from News Channel 3. I love it. The PGA Tour is back, Michael, underway as we speak. Of course,
on
it will
CBS
be.
On CBS this weekend at News Channel 3.
Come on, you know I was about to plug that for you. Yes, it's on CBS. What time Saturday and Sunday, Mike?
They usually,
usually? Come on, come prepared.
I'm 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock Saturday, 1 o'clock Sunday. That's usually when we have our coverage over the weekend of CBS Sports.
All right, there you go.
On PGA Tour.
Do you know what the official name of this tour event is?
The Charles Schwab Cup. Played at Colonial, though. So
I believe it's technically the Charles Schwab Challenge, but we'll allow Cup. I know it is played at. I know it's played at Colonial. Hey, here's what I want to know. CBS, I'm not sure if you are aware, is really ripping off your three questions segment that you used to do during News Channel 3's post-studio show for the FedEx St. Jude Classic. Forgive me, I don't recall exactly what you guys called it. I feel like a Southwind wrap-up or something witty that that Glenn Carver came up with that rhymed maybe. I don't know. But CBS is going with a tent, apparently, during the action. So everyone's trying to figure out what do we do different, right? How do we involve people and keep the non-traditional fans entertained, i.e. taking a page from what they did with the challenge when it was Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Tom Brady, and Peyton Manning. So they're going to have a tent where they bring the players in, I guess one at a time, whoever is relevant, whatever, and they fire off at least one question. Now, that according to Jim Nantz, it can range from a question as simple as, hey, how was the back nine? What do you need to do as you approach 17? To other interesting questions, maybe more off the wall kind of thing. And again, I'm not trying to get you to bash CBS because I realize, you know, that's the mothership. But, I mean, they're ripping off your shtick. Your thing that you always did in the range was, you know, three or five questions with Mike Sadie or three questions. Which was it?
No. Come on, Matt. News Channel 3.
I always thought
questions
it was three, but then for some reason five was popping in my head. And I was like, why would he do five? I don't know.
You know,
maybe you were trying to fill time that day.
No, I didn't.
All right.
It was three.
It was three.
No, actually, CBS asked my permission, and I said, go ahead.
So it's not above your pay grade. So then they must have thrown some green at you. I get it.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Exactly. Actually, what I like is the fact, from what I'm hearing and reading, they're calling the tent the confessional, which leads me to believe that there's going to be some nice – but, you know, what's weird is that there's a lot of guys that are kind of iffy about – I think one of the things that we found, whether it was, you know, Peyton – and Phil and Tiger and Tom, that one, or if it was a few weeks earlier where it was Dustin Johnson and Rory Mallet. I mean, if you can mic these guys, I know that they're playing for money now, and this is a tour event and all that stuff, and a lot of times, you know, these guys don't want to get, you know, don't want to be messed with their swing with a mic hanging off their back or anything like that.
But no doubt.
Technology to the day now, I'm sure it's probably you don't even feel it. And that's, you know, I applaud CBS or really any network that, and I think you're going to see it in every sport. If NFL doesn't have fans or NBA doesn't have fans, you're going to have to mic up people just to kind of entertain fans that are watching. Because as great as watching golf, you know, you still have time of these guys walking and looking over their putts and thinking about what they're going to do.
Yep.
And not that you're going to have smack, but maybe what these guys are talking about to their caddies.
Yes.
And looking at those putts.
Guys like Phil Mickelson, what they're saying, right? Yeah, like Phil Mickelson couldn't stop talking during the challenge. And
he's better than the commentators.
Awesome. Not necessarily the banter between him and Brady, whoever. Yes, but when he's talking about the shot or here's what I need to do here, hearing the stuff that we've heard when we've been around the greens at times at Southwind, when you can pick that up. The question that comes to mind is exactly what you mentioned. A player so in tune with the swing that feeling like the cord or the mic on him. Or guys like Tiger, who, like, at first in that challenge was all open and fun, and then by the end, like, he wasn't saying a word because he just wanted to get that W. You know what I mean? So
right. I think when the grind comes, when you're talking about the weekend, especially at a major or even here in Memphis, a WGC event, when these guys are tuned in and I'm playing for a million one or something like that, the last thing they want to worry about is, you know, being careful what they say or, you know, do I want this mic on me? Do I want the analysis of everybody at home with everything that I'm saying? I just want to play golf. So those are the things, you know, but there are guys on tour that are going to be, look, I'm fine. This is cool. I know we don't have fans out here. So let's interact with the fans at home by giving them something that they don't normally get. So I applaud thinking outside the box. You know, Megan and I have been doing it for the last 3 months. You know, it's 3 months ago today that the world stopped.
Yeah.
The sports world stopped when the NBA decided, you know, Rudy Gobert and everything led the domino effect to everything shutting down. And I'm just thankful that things are opening back up slowly but surely. And, you know, if my August, September, October, if I'm overwhelmed with too much to cover, I promise you that's a problem that I hope that I have and I hope that our fans in Memphis have, because that will mean a return to normalcy. Maybe not the normal times we're used to seeing things, baseball in November or, you know, hockey and whatever. And, you know, but I'm just glad that slowly but surely as people consider everything that we're going through in our country and the pandemic and everything else to try to get some normalcy, to get people watching things on TV, I think is a great first step. And, you know, NASCAR has done it well. Golf is back now. The MLS is on July 8th. You know, the NBA is on July 30th. The NFL training camps will open. College football, the Tigers are in phase zero, getting ready to go to phase one if everything goes well on Monday for small voluntary group workouts on campus. SEC schools are open. You hear about the positive tests, but they're not a huge story anymore. It's the expectation of you're going to have some positive tests. What are you going to do now? And they're taking care of all of that. So I'm just thankful that things are starting to kind of point back towards normal. We'll never be back to what we're used to, what normal used to be, but it's fun that we're 3 months in and not at the beginning of this thing, because in March I was wondering, what is this ever going to look like again?
That was impressive. You hit on pretty much every sport under the sun. I think you left out the cornhole that had been on ESPN. However, you did not mention Major League Baseball, which I found interesting, because last night the commissioner, Rob Manfred, said, we're going to be playing baseball in 2020, 100%. Mike, I don't believe that for a red hot second. I know you're a baseball guy like me. You think we're going to be seeing baseball this fall?
You know, 100%, exactly what you said is what Manfred said last night. But he had to. I mean, he was on the spotlight of day one of the Major League Baseball draft. You
couldn't
go up there and say, I don't know. But the situation with me is that no matter what, every day you turn, whether it's the Players Association or the owners, they're sending new ideas back and forth and blah, 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 78 games, 157 games, 30 games, 20 games. It's all going to come down to money. And the unfortunate spot that we're in right now as a sports fan, me, you, everybody, if you're a baseball fan, you really don't want to hear about money.
Yeah.
You don't want to hear about multimillionaires fighting over what this might mean for the collective bargaining agreement next year. We don't want to give up any ground that we might not be able to make up in 2021. You know what? Everyone's getting it. Do what's right and get back to playing baseball. Give us 60 games. Give the players play 60 games and give them all their money. I'm not an accountant, and I don't have the money. I hardly have the money to get my kids through college. But what I can tell you is, we need baseball. We need Major League Baseball, because unfortunately, I believe we've already lost Minor League Baseball. And to Memphis, that's a huge hit. There's nothing like AutoZone Park on a Saturday night or a Friday night. I'm glad that 901 FC, they're talking about coming back. So that building has sat empty for 3 months. Our jewel of downtown, sports-wise, has sat empty, along with FedEx Forum. Baseball has to get this right, and the only right answer is to play. I mean, all I heard was, you have to have baseball on July 4th. As an American, you have to have baseball on July 4th. They're not going to be able to do that now,
yep.
And that's sad. But let me tell you, if you get to July 15th, or you get to August 1st and you're still not talking baseball, then shut it down, because you've lost. And if you don't play baseball this year, I am of the belief that, back in the day when they canceled the World Series and the next couple of years fans stayed away, I think if you don't give fans their baseball this year because you're fighting over money in a pandemic and everything else that we're dealing with, that fans are going to remember. And I hope that fans stay away, because it's very simple to me. Play the game. Just play baseball. Get it done. Give us back our, America's pastime from everything we've been waiting for 3 months. It's time for the wait to come to an end.
Now, see, why couldn't Rob Manfred have said that last night? Mike Sadie for Major League Baseball commissioner. That was perfect, Michael. I love it.
I'll take his paycheck. Well, he's
see,
he's
it's about the money. It circles back to the money. You're no better than them. You just threw yourself right into it. Hey, man, I appreciate your time today, buddy. We'll do this again.
I had a lot of fun, Matt, anytime. And, again, keep your head up, sports fans. They are coming back slowly but surely, and before you know it, we'll have everything to talk about.
Amen. It's Mike Sadie from News Channel 3. Of course, Channel 3, again, is home to the Charles Schwab Challenge this weekend on Saturday and Sunday with Jim Nantz on the call. Friends?
They are on the course right now.
We have an update?
Let me...
Update music?
Yeah.
All right.
This will help here.
Ah, there it is.
And pull up the leaderboard.
I've got it.
Got it.
Justin Rose still leading the way, friends. -7 after 15 holes.
He's killing it.
Jonathan Vegas?
Vegas.
Sadie's probably like cringing because he's all about the pronunciation of these guys' names. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
He's
anyway, this dude is 6 under. He's done.
Yep.
Brian Harmon, -5. He's also finished. Bunch of other guys behind them, including Phil Mickelson. I don't believe Tiger has teed off yet. Phil Mickelson, -3 through 15 holes, friends. When we come back, more on that Tigers tickets. It's going to happen there. And the NBA players coming back. And we'll dive into the Major League Baseball draft. Day 2, we've got a local kid hoping to hear his name called. Should be getting his name called relatively early this evening when that resumes at 4 o'clock. We'll do all that with the rundown. Matt Sargan for Jason John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
The Mid-South's number one for sports. WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. On the radio.com live and rewind anytime. Smart speakers just say, play 92.9 ESPN. Visit Frontier Western Store this Father's Day for the perfect gifts for Dad. From now until Father's Day, you'll save big on the classic Carhartt K87 short sleeve tee. Get 2 for $25. Frontier carries every color they make, including this year's brand new colors. All sizes are in stock and on sale, small to 4X. All Carhartt Force t-shirts are 25% off too. This hardworking cotton blend wicks away sweat, resists stains, and has a relaxed fit, giving Dad plenty of room to move. Save big on Force at 25% off. Also, all men's pants and jeans, $5 off. Wrangler, Carhartt, Ariat, every pair of khakis, jeans, dungarees, and even FR workwear, $5 off. All Carhartt shorts are 25% off also. While you're there, grab Dad some boots. You know he'd love a new pair. Frontier has thousands of boots in stock at amazing everyday low prices. Frontier Western Store, 5880 Goodman Road in Olive Branch, and on the web at frontierwesternstore.com. Family owned and operated since 1967.
I went to Triumph Bank the other day to set up an account. Met with a banker named Holly Bronson, and here's what Bronson told me. The first thing you need to do is put my number in your cell phone. I can't help you if you don't call me. Yes, she really said that. Are you as stunned as I was? But that's why Triumph Bank is a different kind of bank, because of people like Holly Bronson. She'd worked at other banks before Triumph, of course. Given the way that banks are gobbled up by bigger banks these days, she'd actually worked at five different banks. But those banks didn't deliver the kind of service that Bronson wanted to give her customers. So Bronson made the switch. And here's the thing. Nearly all of her customers made the switch with Bronson because they understood what a difference personal service can make. Bronson insists she's nothing special, of course. She rattled off the names of a whole bunch of bankers at Triumph who take their jobs and service as seriously as she does. But I can tell you it's the first time a banker ever gave me her cell phone number. Triumph is invested in the community and in making banking easy for you.
Are you a metalhead, reggae lover, EDM addict? Whatever your musical tastes, the Radio.com app now makes it even easier for you to find more of the music you love. Use the new Explore feature to discover new stations that match your interests. We're talking hundreds of pop, classic rock, hip-hop, jazz, alternative stations, and more. Radio.com has something for everyone. News junkies and sports fanatics, find your local stations and podcasts covering your local community and your favorite teams. Download the Radio.com app on the App Store or Google Play.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
We're all in uncharted territory, looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
For the ones we trust to always be there. For the ones caring for others. For the ones who keep things going, no matter where they are. In extraordinary times, extraordinary people step up, like the ones standing guard and standing on the front lines. And the ones who are staying apart while still working together. With your efforts, we will get through this. We're grateful for all you do. Visit Grainger.com for resources that can help as you create your recovery plan. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I've worked hard to get where I am today, and I won't let anything keep me from moving forward. That's why I signed up for My City Rides. For just $90 a month, I can lease to own.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.